What a great day it is to be in the house of the Lord. I want to tell you something. I don't know about you, but this has been a marvelous week, hasn't it? Have you guys enjoyed the weather? The temperature has been cool and nice. Or am I the only one that's enjoyed it? It seems like maybe I am. I don't know. I've enjoyed it if the rest of you haven't. That's okay. I'll just enjoy it this afternoon as well. I think I'm going to ride the bicycle this afternoon. Aren't we, Robert? Going to ride the bicycle a little bit this afternoon? So I'm going to need some of you to show kindness to me if you see me on the road. Don't roll your window down and snicker. Don't laugh in any way. Just maybe if you do anything, just silently drive by. That way, you know, I won't think anybody's laughing at me because I haven't been on the bicycle in many, many months. So, there we have it. I just wanted to get that out there because I know I'm sharing about kindness today, and when you see me on that bicycle, you're going to laugh. And so I just wanted to cast that out there, and prayerfully you'll not be laughing at me. So I want you to take your Bibles. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 8 this morning. Luke chapter 8. We've been making our way through the book of Galatians. We started a series and we've entitled it Fruit. The reason we've entitled it Fruit is because we come to the section in Galatians that deal with the fruit of the Spirit. How can you know if I'm a Christ follower? How do I know if you're a Christ follower? And one of the things that should be evident in our lives are these grace fruits. That's what I believe these are. They're grace fruits, and there are 9 of them. And when you see a believer, I think you should be able to recognize them for the way they live their life. And so here's what Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says. It says, when I find it, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and I didn't even need it, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, kill them with kindness? You ever heard that? Kill them with kindness. I don't know if you realize where that came from, but it comes from a play by Shakespeare. And I want to read a phrase that where this is really most prominent, but the play is The Taming of the Shrew. And one of the scenes, Petruchio says to his wife, Kate, he's really wanting her to kill her with kindness. And so this is that quote. It says, this is the way to kill a wife with kindness. And thus I'll curb her mad and headstrong humor. So his desire was some kind of way just to kill her with kindness, and that's where this came from. One of my favorite definitions of kindness, and I think this would be for all of us, is this: love with its work clothes on. Think about it for a moment. What is kindness? We think about it. It's love with its work clothes on. Kindness is literally grace in action. And that's what we're going to look at today. There's really a pretty simple message that I have today. Not very elaborate, not going to go real, real deep as far as theology or anything else. I have just a few scripture that I want to share with you. But I really hope you understand this, kill them with kindness. And I hope you understand that this kindness is really grace in action for the believer. This is how you and I are to live our lives. And if grace is going to be in action in our lives, people are going to see that love in us. First of all, that has to be evident. We have to have love present in our hearts as well. And so the very simple outline that I want to share with you today, first is this: know it. I want to talk with you quickly about a scripture, and I want you to know that scripture. I want you to get it. I want you to be able to apply that to your heart. But then I want to show you something, and I want you to see it. Again, this is just a very, very basic biblical outline of a message this morning. But then it gets down to you being able to put it into action. And so number 3 is do it. And I couldn't have made it any simpler than that this morning. So I hope you're able to see what kindness really is all about as a grace fruit. I hope you're able to apply that to your life. I hope you're able to see it in action through the life of Christ as you look at Luke chapter 8 in just a few minutes. But then my goal as we conclude our service today is that you as a Christ follower, as a man, woman, or child who has claimed the name of Jesus, who has confessed your sin, invited Jesus to be Lord of your life, my prayer is that when you leave, you'll be able to do it. You'll be able to produce this kind of love, and people will see that in your life. Kindness will be very, very real. And when you meet people, you'll be kind and compassionate and loving to them as our Lord is loving to us. And so I want to ask that you would stand this morning. Luke chapter 8, stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word. We're going to begin in verse 46. So I want you to look at this. Verse 46, I'll explain it all as we get to it this morning, but beginning in verse 46, Luke chapter 8, verse 46 and following. But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me. Now when the woman saw that Jesus was not hidden, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason that she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, 'Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace.'" Verse 49. While he was still speaking, someone came from a ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, two different stories, two different people who were suffering. One's daughter, Jairus' daughter, was sick. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and she was about 12 years old. This woman who had been touched and experienced the blood, the power of God had healed her where she had been bleeding constantly for 12 years. And so, verse 49, while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, "Do not be afraid. Only believe and she'll be made well." Will you pray with me this morning? Father in heaven, today what we ask is that you would allow us to see through your word what the acts of kindness really look like, that you would help us to apply this to our lives in order that you would be ever, forever honored and glorified through each of us every day, that we would become true servants of yours, that we would engage those in the world, building relationships with the lost and unchurched, Lord, sharing our story with them, loving them to you, that you would, again, be honored and glorified in and through us. And we ask it today in Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be traveling through several verses this morning. The first verse that I want to share with you is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. We're going to get right into it. We're not going to waste a lot of time. You're going to say, "Preacher, that's the shortest message you've ever preached." And we'll just have to see when it's over, right? I know that's what most of you are thinking. I don't believe that, preacher. So here's what the scripture says. "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you," or God in Christ forgave you. I love this. This Greek word for kindness is Christos. And it's a beautiful word, but what it means is grace in action. Literally, you've already heard me speak of it. That's what kindness is. It's grace in action. When you think about the kindness that God has for us, you understand that it's grace in action. It's God acting on our behalf, even when he didn't have to. It's you receiving something that you do not deserve. That's what grace in action is all about, and it's all for you and I on God's behalf. Matter of fact, the Bible is very clear how God has shown us this. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, that's grace in action, amen? That's God showing us what kindness is all about. Literally, what his love is all about, what grace and mercy are all about. But also, we can see a picture of God's kindness to us. Something we didn't deserve. Even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I love that truth about who God is. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful picture. On rare occasion over the years, I've talked to people about God, and I've had people tell me, "Well, I just don't believe in God." You know, I think a lot of times I always have an answer for them, but I think some of the time this is what we should do, just ask them, "Well, tell me about this God you don't believe in." Well, most people have an opinion about God and why they don't believe in God. I don't know if you're aware of that, but most of them do. "Well, this is why I don't believe in God, but this is what I think God is all about." And then they begin to tell a story about a situation in their life where they didn't see God heal a loved one, or they wonder why God would allow them to experience such pain and heartache in their lives. And as a result of this, they just absolutely refuse to believe that God is kind, gracious, merciful, and loving. And so they just decide that they're going to be atheist. They're not going to believe that God exists. Tell a story, because I need you to understand that God is real and God has demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What that means is this. Listen to me, because I need you to know this. God thought about you when he sent his son to die on the cross. You. Specifically, he had you in mind. I don't know if you understand that. Really, not just your name. We talked about this a few weeks ago. But you, your whole body, the way you live your life, your sin, the way you're happy, your sadness, every emotion that you can imagine, God was thinking about you when he went to the cross. When he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross, he was showing this act of kindness. There's this little boy, funny story. His name was Timmy, and his mother was very, very protective of him. And he was a young kid. He was in about the fifth grade, and he walked to school every day. But mom was so protective that she wanted to follow him. And finally, Timmy got wind that mom was staying back, but that she was following him to school every day, and his friends were walking with him. And so finally, he said something to his mom, and his mom stopped following, but he had the next door neighbor, Miss Goodness, begin to follow every single day. First name was Shirley, and so she began to follow. And mom, when she would lay his child down to bed at night and tuck him in, she would always read 23rd Psalm, try and help him understand how good God is. And so one day, it had been a few weeks had gone by, and now Miss Goodness was walking behind them at a distance, a close distance, and she had her dog Marcy with her. And every morning she would go and she would follow those kids so that she could make sure they were safe, so that little Timmy wouldn't be embarrassed because mom was following. Now it's just the neighbor. And so finally, again, this is what happened. One of the friends of Timmy asked him again, "Does it not bother you that now your neighbor is following us every single day?" And so young Timmy explained it this way. He said, "No, it doesn't really bother me at all, because it's in the Bible. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life." And so that's good. This is what we need to understand when we're able to see that God is a God of kindness, and that he loves us in such a way. He demonstrated that by sending his son. And that you understand that literally, 23rd Psalm, surely, as that concludes, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And it goes on, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So to be able to see that and to know it, this is what you need to know about kindness. First of all, that God demonstrated that to us. He did. We're able to see that. We see it through the Scripture. We hear it in stories. And now I want you to see it. It's so important that you know it, but now I need you to see it. I need you to see it through the example of Jesus himself. So please look at the Scripture this morning, Luke chapter 8, because this is where it is. You seeing it, this is Jesus showing kindness to a desperate woman and to a young girl, to her family. So what happened? Jesus had returned, and multitudes were beginning to welcome him. So he was a crowd of people around Jesus, and people really couldn't hardly make their way. If you could imagine all of us standing up and us just kind of crowded around someone, and then everyone else trying to go against the flow to make their way to the person that's in the middle of the crowd. So here it is that Jairus comes. He's heard the stories. He's a ruler of the synagogue. He knows about Jesus. He's heard everything, and he has a 12-year-old daughter who is laying on her deathbed. She's getting ready to die. She's not going to make it if someone doesn't come to heal her of this sickness. Jairus believed at that point that there was only one individual who'd be able to heal his 12-year-old daughter. So he goes to find Jesus. He entered back into Jerusalem, and now it was time for Jairus to go and to find Jesus. And it wasn't hard because the crowd of people were there. The multitudes were there. You want to know where the rock stars are? Look for the crowds. You want to know where the athletes are? Look for the crowds, because that's where they're going to be. So Jesus was a very well-respected man, God, during this time. And he entered into the city. The multitudes gathered around him. Jairus had heard, and he was going to to Jesus. He was trying to make his way to Jesus. But also, while Jairus was trying to make his way to Jesus, this lady who had been sick for 12 years was there very, very close to Jesus. And as she's making her way to Jesus, she gets close enough that she can touch his garment. Immediately as she touches her garment, Jesus feels his power leave him. And you got to understand the big picture here. Jesus asks the question, "Who is it that has touched me?" And the disciples responded, "Well, you're in a crowd of people. Everybody's trying to touch you." And Jesus explained, "No, someone touched me and I felt my power leave." So if all of the group of people were around and everyone was trying to get to Jesus to touch him, what was it about this lady that touched and Jesus felt his power leave him? It was her faith. And Jesus turns around to the lady and asks the question, "Why is it that you've touched me?" And she explains. She comes to him and she says, "I'm the one that did it." But Jesus confessed, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well." And so she had gone to him, this lady, and she had touched him, and she had believed beforehand that if she could just touch his garment, that she would be healed. Jairus believed if he could just get Jesus to go to his daughter's bedside, that his daughter would be healed. But while he was in the process of making his way to her, someone had come to the ruler and said that, "Don't bother the teacher, your daughter is dead." Jesus heard that though. And Jesus was dealing with one situation that he had already been dealt with a little bit. And now Jairus was coming to Jesus, and Jesus heard someone tell the ruler, "Don't bother the teacher, your daughter is dead." And Jesus said, "Wait a minute. Your daughter's not dead. Take me to her." So Jesus goes. It's an act of kindness. Jesus goes and he gets to the bedside. Peter, James, John, the mother and the father, and Jesus were the only ones in the room. Everyone else was shut out. There were mourners. They were brokenhearted. They thought this young lady's life has ended. But just like the lady who had been bleeding for 12 years, this 12-year-old little girl now was about to receive the kindness of God in a way that she had never experienced before. Her mother and father were about to experience the kindness of God, the love of God, in a way that they had never experienced it before. And so with Jesus being God in the flesh, you can imagine what happened. Young lady, rise. And she comes back to life. God's Spirit once again enters into her breath. Pneuma, Spirit enters into her once again. And this body that was once lifeless, this lady who had been bleeding for 12 years, who felt like she couldn't do anything to provide for herself, to take care of herself. None of the physicians were able to. Now both of these have experienced the kindness of God in a way that they'd never experienced it before. Every day, I believe that you and I as Christ followers, every single day, you and I encounter individuals who have a testimony like an atheist. "I don't believe there is a God." "Well, tell me about this God you don't believe in." "I believe he's cruel and mean, and if there was really a God, why wouldn't he have healed my child? Or why would he allow me to experience all of these difficulties in my life?" And we are around these individuals, and you and I have an opportunity to show them the kindness of God. We have an opportunity to extend God's hand of grace. That's what you and I are to do. We are to be God's hands and feet in the world that is lost, dying, and going to hell. It's not enough that we come and we are fed week after week, but you and I have to go to the lost and the dying. You and I are responsible for that as the people of God so that they might enter into a relationship. And so you and I, we enter into this world, and whether you're at work at a factory or you're in the cafeteria at school, you have an opportunity to show someone God's kindness by loving them, by being gracious and merciful, by forgiving them where they failed you. So many things you and I have an opportunity, and we see this example through the life of Jesus. And then the last thing this morning, really? Yeah. The last thing that I want to share with you this morning is the do it part. And that's, you've got to treat others the way God treats you. Wow. You've got to be able to treat others the way God treats you, because ultimately you and I don't deserve God's kindness, and we can't really repay Him for the kindness that He's shown us, because He's God and He owns the cattle on a thousand hills and all creation is His. We see the Scripture tells us that the heavens are His handiwork. God owns everything, so how can you repay someone who owns everything? Well, really, it's just not possible for us to do that other than surrender our life to His. Give Him our everything in such a way that you and I literally become His hands and feet while on earth. That really should be the steps as a believer, as a Christ follower, as a Christian anyway. We trust Christ as our Lord and Savior. We repent of our sins. We confess that we've messed up. There's nothing good in us. Then we invite Jesus to come into our heart and be our Lord and Savior, believing and acknowledging that God sent His Son to die on an old rugged cross, that He breathed His last, that He was buried in a borrowed tomb, that He rose from the grave on the third day. We believe, we've confessed these things. And then we begin to learn about how much God loves us. We see the examples in the stories over and over and over again in the Scripture. We learn, we draw just a little bit closer to Him every single day. And so that's us being able to see it. And then it moves us to a point where we're trying to apply this to our lives. And we've got to just do it, because God desires and expects us to be His hands and feet in this world that we live in. That's God's desire. When He ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father, He left a word for the disciples and those who had gathered around Him, and it was to go into all the world, baptizing, teaching, training, discipling in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so you and I are not to sit comfortably, but we've got to go. And we've got to tell people. We've got to show God's love, His grace, His mercy, and His kindness. There's this story, this lady, this happened a few years ago, very, very true story. This lady, she was a bus driver, and now they have videos in our buses in order to see if the students are just acting up, overly acting up, not being obedient to the bus driver, being rude and crude to other children who might be on the bus with them. And so there were some bullies on this bus that this lady, Miss Karen, was driving, and they were very, very mean to her. They talked bad. They made fun of her every single day, and she just sat and drove this bus, and she listened to them make fun and mock her every single day. True story. Every single day she accepted it. She accepted it. She had every reason to be angry, to be upset, to be disturbed, to act violently. When asked, she even said, "I wanted to hurt them, but I knew it wasn't for me to do." And so she understood this. And so she also understood what our responsibility is as adults and Christ followers. In Luke chapter 6, verse 35 and 36 says this, "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil." And this lady, Miss Karen, she was driving this bus. She remembered this, and it finally, the word got out as they had videoed. This one guy thought that he was going to put it on YouTube, and everybody was going to laugh along with it. But they were so disturbed by these kids' actions that people began to remark, and action began to take place. Somebody else actually put up so that people could give to this lady a fund. And she ended up receiving over $500,000. And she said that she would end up retiring now as a bus driver as a result of that. But people were showing kindness to this lady. And as these kids were being rude and obnoxious and mean, she just continued to be patient and show kindness and love and grace because she understood Luke chapter 6. Love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you'll be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Friends, I want to tell you, we talked about patience a couple of weeks ago. That's patience, wouldn't you say? And patience and kindness, they follow one another. It's patience, then kindness. And I'm going to tell you something. You can't separate them. They go together very, very well. They really work hand in hand together. And so this morning, as we begin to close, I want to ask you, I want to challenge you, that you should show that kind of kindness to everyone that you encounter as Christ followers, as believers, fruits of the Spirit. It has to be evident in our life. It begins with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. But it follows an order, and they grow and they grow and they grow until you understand that these must be evident in our lives. All of them must be evident in our lives. And so today I want to ask you, how do you respond to people? You, Christ followers. It's very, very well said. I know you have heard this, and I'm going to tell you, when asked of people who work in the service industry as waiters and waitresses, they say after church that the Christians are the ugliest people that they encounter during the day on Sundays. Christians, those who are dressed to the T's, who just get out of church when we go, we're the ugliest and the rudest to those who serve us. Let me ask you a question. Is that the way we as Christ followers are to respond and to act? I say no. I say wherever we are, that we have to exemplify, that we have to honor God with our words and our actions, and our job as a believer is to be so kind to those that we encounter that they see Jesus in us so that they would desire to know about this relationship that we have. So that when we leave, we've left a wonderful tip, and they say, you know, I really appreciate that man or that woman or that family who just got out of church. And they were so wonderful. They were the best that I've ever had. They were so kind. They were so sweet. Never once said an ugly word. They never once fussed at me because I didn't get here to fill their tea glass up in time. And so I want to challenge you today, when you leave, when you go to your lunch spot, wherever that is today, that you practice what Jesus practiced. That you live as Jesus lived. That you serve as Jesus served. That you understand that kindness is grace in action. Christos. Grace in action. And when you leave, you have it on your mind as a Christ follower that you're going to serve the world at large. Now, in closing, let me say this. To those of you who have never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's time for you to understand what this kindness is all about. Maybe you're here and you realize that you've never trusted Jesus. I know this wasn't a salvific message, but you can receive this love, this grace, this mercy, this kindness that God has to offer like never before. And I want to tell you, each day that God allows you to live, God is showing you patience and kindness. And so today, maybe you're here and you've heard the stories, you know about this Jesus, you understand that God sent His Son to die on the cross. He raised Him on the third day. Today, maybe you're ready. Today, maybe you're to the point where you understand that if you're going to be saved because you're not promised a tomorrow, then you've got to confess your sins and invite Jesus to be Lord of your life. Today, will you allow God to show you kindness? Today. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, today in the matchless and most holy name of Jesus, Lord, we do come before Your throne. Father, I know there have been moments in our lives as believers when we've not lived up to those expectations that have been placed before us. Father, my prayer is that you would forgive me, a sinner, where I have failed you, responding to someone else, to their actions or their words towards me. Father, where I've not been kind towards those who have needed kindness. Father, would you forgive me of that? Would you help me today to be able to go out into this world and to show the world the love that you have for them? Would you use me as a living vessel and allow me to show kindness like never before? Father, would you use all of us for that? That very reason that we would know what the Scripture says, that we would see it through your example, but then, Father, that we would go out and do it because you expect that of us. And Father, today, if there's even one person who's never trusted Jesus as Lord of their life, today, that they would experience your kindness like never before by confessing their sins and inviting you to be Lord of their lives. And I ask it today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask that you would stand, and during our invitation time, would you come?